victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head.
Some of these promises that God has so faithfully made to us that sometimes we can so easily forget. So that's what I'm doing this evening. And I have a title for our teaching, and that is The God Who Protects and Provides. The God Who Protects and Provides. And I'm going to base this today from Psalm 27, and we'll look at verses 5 and 6. The God who protects and provides. Psalm 27, 5 and 6. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, and he shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. One of the things that the Lord will work with us if we let him, and that is that he is our God and Father who protects us. And there are going to be times in your Christian walk where you are going to experience that protection, whether it be when you're driving, where you had a near fatal accident, the Lord preserved you, or whether you've experienced something in your life where you have seen the protection, the provision of Almighty God. Sometimes they're just some experiences where he's going to just show you that he's always one step ahead. And the reason being is that we live and walk and have our being in this world that still is under the domain and control of the God of this world, Satan. Christ has already legally purchased us. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. But we still are left walking like in a landmines. And they're all around. Whatever road you take, whatever direction you go, they are there. And we need the Holy Spirit who will reveal to us and show us where they are, so that we can be preserved and protected. But sometimes we forget this, and sometimes we forget to praise and thank the Lord. Many times God tested the children of Israel in winning the battles by praising, worshipping, and thanking the Lord. You know, we give much and have given much over the years with regard to spiritual warfare. And there is much that we're learning in this. But we also need to learn that in spiritual warfare, there is also a time not to pray or to get into warfare, but to start to lift your hands and to start to praise and worship him. That the battle is already won. And many times we can forget that, particularly if there's fear or anxiety that is working. We think that we've not prayed enough, or we've not got into spiritual warfare enough. But maybe what it's needed is to actually just praise and worship God, that the enemy is put to flight. Again, that is why we have the Holy Spirit who comes, who leads and guides us and teaches us. But we need to experience the God who protects and provides. And we've had much of that in the Deeper Life teaching over the years. And that's why we're going over some of these things this evening. Now, the Lord isn't going to stop challenging us to his faithfulness and his provisions, which of course include protection and provision. God is going to continue to keep us on our heels with regard to this, because it is very important. It is God preserving and keeping each of us in this world, in this life, and preserving his church, the body of Christ. And that is why, as we see in these two verses of Psalm 27, where he says, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In other words, God protects us. He keeps us. Now, that word pavilion means exactly what it is. It's a place, it's a hut. It's somewhere outside your usual abode. It's not your home. It is somewhere that God has for you, that he protects you and says, go in there and stay there for a season till I call you out. In other words, we're hid in this hut, in this pavilion. I'm reminded of a similar situation where we know of many stories and testimonies of where during World War II, many Jews were hid in people's houses, hid behind walls or hid in roofs. And they stayed there for a season. And many of them were protected. It's a similar analogy. It's where God says, right, you stay there for a while until we are over this battle. The enemy is out to get you, and he wants to destroy you. But hey, what? Come in to my pavilion. I've got a place prepared for you. I will protect you. Now, of course, this is where we need to be walking close with the Lord and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Of course, if we rebel and kick against it, then that pavilion, that shed, is not really going to work. So he says, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. So again, we get this idea that there's a secret place where you're hid, where the enemy doesn't know. Now, of course, what does it mean by this? Are you physically placed in a situation where you're hid from the enemy? Well, it could well be. We certainly know of many stories, and we know, of course, many Jews were hid physically during World War II from the Nazi regime. So there can be a physical hiding, but there's also a spiritual hiding. There's a place within God where you stay for the time being until this trial or whatever it is passes. He says that he will hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And God does this. He has a way in which he preserves and he protects us. Sometimes he preserves and protects us from ourselves, our own stupidity, or our own unbelief, or stubbornness, or rebellion. That again is the mercy and protection of Almighty God. And he says in verse 6, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. In other words, he raises us up. There's a way he raises us up above our enemies at that right time. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Often you find those who worship and praise God and lift holy hands in his presence are those who are experiencing exactly what those two verses are saying. You cannot help but praise and worship God because he's preserved, he's protected me. He's raised me above my enemies. I've seen that mighty hand of God deliver me in an impossible situation. And you cannot help but rejoice and praise and worship him. It just comes out of you like those rivers of living water with thanks and appreciation. We should be experiencing these things of Almighty God in our lives. And that's why God protects and he provides. I'm reminded, as we're looking at this also, in our very familiar psalm, Psalm 91 and verse 3, where he says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So he says he will deliver you from Satan's traps. And Satan has traps. And we don't know where those traps are unless the Lord is leading and guiding us. Because the Word of God says He will guide our footsteps. And so we need each day to be guided as we walk in this world. There are many snares, there are many traps that the enemy is working to try and snare you. And these snares and traps can come like an angel of light in the most subtle ways, trying to trap us or draw us away. He doesn't come in a forceful way. He doesn't come where it frightens you, it causes you to run away. On the contrary, he comes like an angel of light. He can come through those whom you least expect. He can come through somebody that you work with. Or he can come through your family. He can come in many, many ways, trying to snare you and trap you. And this is why we need to be alert. We need to be in prayer. We need to be walking close with the Lord. Sometimes you know that you are falling into that trap, that temptation. Then you need to cry out to God, Lord, strengthen me, enlarge my heart. Help me not to become a victim of this, to give in to this. You see, the enemy works so much, doesn't he, in the area of emotions. And we're so gullible for this. And this is where we need to be strengthened so that we can do the will of God. Because we are people who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So he says that he delivers us from the snare of the fowler. That's what he says he will do. That's why you have to believe that he will do that. From prayerless pestilence and so on. So surely he will deliver you from that snare, from that fowler, from those traps. We're told, aren't we, in verse 4, that he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So he's going to cover you with his feathers, just like a hen who covers her chicks with her wings. So he does likewise with us, because he knows what this walk is in this life. We're to take refuge under those wings. When those arrows start flying about, they're not going to touch us. When there is disease or sickness, it's not going to touch me. When there's an epidemic of flu or colds that are going around, I'm not going to become a victim to this. This is where we need to believe that God protects us and says what he means in his word. And he says that you will see the reward of the wicked. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So whose truth? God's truth. His word. Not what you think, or our own interpretation. It's His truth. It's His word. You see, when we meet the demands of His word in that sense, then God will protect. He will provide. It's when we change it. It's when we compromise on it that we then don't get that protection that we should. It's very, very important that we adhere to His truth and not deviate from it or compromise or water it down. The world out there will try to get us to compromise. Your family will try to get you to compromise. Your friends will try to get you to talk and think like they do. And we have to stand back from it or separate ourselves from it because it's a snare and it's trapping you. And then we find that our confession is not what it should be. We shouldn't be confessing and speaking like the world does. We have the God of truth who lives in our lives and our hearts. I wonder how he feels, what it does to him when we go against his truth and what he says. It's not only disrespectful, but it's hurtful. It's really saying, I don't really believe what you're saying, but I'll go along with it anyway. You see, God knows. So he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. And that shield and buckler, as we know from our studies in spiritual warfare, comes against those fiery darts of the enemy. Those little darts that can do such a lot of damage. That's what it means there. What does it say in verse 10 of Psalm 91? No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, because he gives his angels charge over you. So again, we're shown that he keeps us from the evil one. Sometimes we need to just confess that before God. We need to confess that when we wake up and as we're talking to the Lord. Lord, this day you will keep me from the evil one. As I walk, as you lead and guide me by your Spirit. It's so important at times, brothers and sisters, that we hear ourselves confessing that. And we confess it before the powers of darkness. It's good to let the enemy know whom you are believing and trusting in. And that is why it's good to speak these things out sometimes. And it keeps us from the evil one. You see, we are constantly protected by his angels. Because it says, doesn't he, in verse 11, for he gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. So we have angels that are with us 24/7. They're there guarding you, keeping evil away, disease away, sickness away. But it's whether we believe that or not. It's whether we're looking to those circumstances, those feelings, or we're trusting that God says what he says, that he gives his angels charge over us to preserve and protect us. Look at the authority that he gives us in verse 13. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Here is your spiritual warfare. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The enemy, in other words, he's under your feet. You will put him down. And we're learning, aren't we, that God isn't going to do it for us. Christ has won that victory at the cross. Now, use his name in prayer intercession to bring down the powers of darkness. That is the church's responsibility. And she must rise up in these last days with the powers of darkness getting greater and greater as they are. It's no good belly aching. Oh Lord, the enemy's on my shoulder. Oh, please get him off me. He isn't going to do that. He's going to say, what have I given you? I've given you my name. I've given you my blood. I've given you my word. Now speak to the powers of darkness and they will flee, depart. Wish to God more Christians would do this. We wouldn't have the oppression in the house of God that we have. Because that is what he says he does. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. They're two deadly predators. A lion, the king of the animals, and the cobra, the deadliest venom. And there you are. He says, you'll tread upon them underfoot. The young lion, the serpent, you shall trample underfoot. So you're going to trample them underfoot. So not just binding them, not just dealing with them, but trampling with them. Well, if you trample on something, it's not going to survive, is it? It will die eventually. And that's what it means. And that's what it means in your life, your circumstances. Those things are going to die that still try to hold you and afflict you and tempt you. You see, God has provided all and more for the overcomers. Because if he doesn't, then none of this is going to happen. We will cease to exist. There won't be the Christian life, the Christian message, the Christian gospel. It will die unless the church rises up in spiritual warfare. And sadly, church history shows us over and over again, until the church gets in such a state, then she gets the message and then she starts to rise up. Well, we don't have to go that far. If we're alert and we do the things that God shows us, then we're not going to fall victim to the powers of darkness like so often Christians do. You see, God sees everything in the accumulation of needs and not wants. And those needs are vital. We need to be praying for the body. We need to be praying one for another. We need to be praying for this country at this time. There are a lot of needs. But we still have this mentality, well, It's what I want, you see. And there's the difference. God doesn't work that way. He will give us the desires of our heart. The Bible says so. And we each of us have those desires. And those desires, if they God gives us the desires of our hearts, well, he's put them there anyway. They're godly desires. They're not desires for self, for pride, to promote you. That's not what it means. I have at times in the past heard some Christians say, oh, I'm believing that God will give me the desires of my heart. And you hear what the desires of their heart is, and you think, Lord, I hope you never give them that. They've got it all wrong. No, no, everything stems and comes from him. It says we delight ourselves in him. It says we walk with him as we're in covenant fellowship with him. Those desires then naturally come out of relationship. And they're not ungodly. Never forget what it says in verse 16. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So if the Lord tarries, then we can have a long and fruitful life with the Lord. Because he renews our youth like the eagles. Is that your confession? Are you believing, confessing that he renews your youth like the eagles? That by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed at Calvary? Do you make these your confessions? We should. Not in a religious way, but it's in a way that you know you are experiencing this. It's coming out of praise and worship because you are seeing how God is strengthening you, providing for you, keeping you safe, protecting you when you go out and when you come in. This is so vital in our relationship, our stand with him. He loves to hear the praises of his people. And I believe that a lot of battles are lost because saints don't really praise and worship God. They're making the mistake that the children of Israel made, where they griped and they moaned, and they said, wish to God that we had remained in Egypt. Has he brought us out to perish in the wilderness? And God gave them up. He gave them over to their confession. He gave them over to what they said in the end, because they were stiff-necked people. It still goes on. It's no different. Human nature doesn't change. Because we live in a different generation, the heart doesn't change. The human condition doesn't change. That is why the Word of God is still alive today, as it always has been and always will be, through every generation. Because nothing changes. Nothing's new under the sun, the Word of God says. And yet, we can still make these mistakes. We're not a grateful people. We're not thanking the Lord. And that is why we don't see these breakthroughs in our lives. That's why maybe sickness still hinders you, or oppression, or all these things that can happen the enemy has access to. We are to seek God if these things happen to us. We're to seek God to find out what it is. Sometimes it can be the trial of your faith. Other times it can be chastening. Or it's because we're not doing it the Lord's way. We can be rebellious, stiff-necked. But God doesn't give up on us. And even if he is chasing us, he still is protecting and he still provides. And like Job, he only gives the enemy a certain leeway. But you will not take her life, his life. See, that is the God of provision, protection. And Job most certainly experienced that. And look toward the end of Job's experience, what God had done in and through him. And God doubly blessed him at the end. And not only that, but he was an intercessor, a type of high priest, where he was praying and interceding for his family also. And that's what God does. You will know how God is working in your life. You will know if you are yielding to him, because you will find yourself, like Job, a man or woman who prays and intercedes. And you will pray and intercede because you know that God is answering your prayers. You have gone through deep, deep waters that's produced that in your life. And prayer doesn't become a drudge any longer. But it's come about because of the deep trials that you've gone through, that you've seen God preserve and keep you and bring you through, just like Job did. God made Job a man of prayer, intercession. And that is what it does. When you start to pray and intercede, that is a sign you are maturing and growing in the faith. Babies can't do that. They're still griping and moaning and still consumed within themselves. But not sons and daughters of God. They've allowed the Holy Spirit to deal with their self-life. Their self doesn't matter anymore. It's crucified with Christ. They're more consumed with God's glory and praising and worshipping him and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through them. That is what he's doing, brothers and sisters. So there we are, the God who protects and provides. You will come to that place where you won't doubt that. You just know that God provides, he protects. Just like he feeds those animals out in the world there. They're not worried about where their next food is going to come. No, not at all. And it's going to be the same for you. You will rest in faith on all of that, so that you then can become kingdom-minded. And praying those things that are upon the Father's heart. Children, young people in the faith don't really understand the Father's heart, his concerns. But as you mature and grow, so you become more sensitive. What is your Father's concern? What is on his heart? What would you have me to pray and intercede, Lord? When did you last ask God that? When did you last ask him, Father, what would you have me to pray? What is on your heart? There's a lot of things pressing on my heart, but what is on your heart? That's the challenge, brothers and sisters. The God who protects and provides. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for speaking to us. Father, work in us. Work in us these godly desires that we have heard this evening. Whatever is lacking in our lives, Father, please work it in us. We can be so vulnerable. We can be so easily deceived. We can be so easily taken in, seduced. Because it's always appealing to the self-life, to the pride. But Father, you're working that cross. You're working with us by your Holy Spirit. May each day be an experience where we decrease, that you increase. Lord, grant that to each of us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God.
Lord, always, and again I say rejoice.